So we work to develop this fine manner and this, you know, this beautiful orientation, so that at those moments of God's grace, we can be swept up into taste of this union for which we long. And we build it by constructing an ideal, which then ultimately is shattered in the unknowingness of transcendence. So if we could move into this second stage of the zikr, of turning within to this place deeply inside of our being and finding this sacred space by creating a protected environment around us. You might envision yourself surrounded by a zone of silence or a zone of light, kind of filter that makes the impressions of the world very far away. And at first, an awareness of the breath or the beating of the heart, very present and clear. The Sufis consider the heart of such importance that they give it two poles, the indoor, the solar plexus, that center just about in our physical body, has a correspondence about 3 inches above the belly button. It's that place where we feel, you know, butterflies in the stomach and tension when we're nervous. And the solar plexus, the indoor of the heart. And the heart center, the place of radiance. So this tender place, you know, if we breathe into that solar plexus, the area in our being way at the back of the spine, that's one way to help open that door. And we can become aware of, let's say, the very subtle dimensions of our being. Not just at a physical level. Place of quietude and peace. And deep sacredness. It's a, in the language of the Sufis, these attributes are named Batin, the veiled one, and Latif, the subtle. So if you wish, we can invoke these qualities together. Ya Batin, Ya Latif. And we'll say this aloud. It's as if, you know, there's a, let's say we arouse that in our being by recognizing it and in invoking its presence, unveiling that aspect of being. All right, so 11 times. Ya Batin, Ya Latif, Ya Batin, Ya. Ya Batin, Ya Latif, 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 Ya Batin, Ya Latif. And continuing the invocation on the breath, it's called the Fikr. Inhaling with the thought of discovering this sacred place deep within being, Batin. And exhaling, well, first holding the breath, and then exhaling, Latif, the subtle. So you might hold the breath for 3 or 4 counts before exhaling. And from this inner place of peace, I invite you to offer the faculties of the creative imagination to envisioning a being that incorporates all that you hold dear and beautiful, an ideal being. So to begin with the, let's say the stature of this being, and it doesn't just have to be a picture. Some people are much better at imagining a picture of, you know, the inner image, and others maybe not so much, but have a sense of the bearing, let's say, of this being. And the qualities that this being would possess, and to be very clear about naming them. Maybe compassion, kindness, power, clarity, guidance, energy. And then to imagine what it would be like to be this being. And how would this being see things? What would his or her consciousness be like? Maybe there's a sense of majesty, of investiture, a kind of recognition of the status of the human being, how the human being has the totality of this marvelous being, that can be brought to fruition in right in physical form. And this bridge, this place of imagination that the Sufis call the Alam al-Mithal, place of creativity, is like a bridge between the potential and what can be made manifest. So we can lend ourselves and this envisioning, but ultimately it is something greater which something greater than even than our imagination, which is let's say, behind the constructs of this vision, something much less tangible, but still with a kind of form, because you can sense it by the differing emotional qualities or attunements that are very subtly present. we inherit at these very subtle levels, like those of the angelic beings, the beings whose, let's say, never have been distorted or defiled in the process of creation, that still bring us grace or beauty or joy. And we see that sometimes if we've had the great fortune to be with a very saintly person, or in the light in their eyes, and sometimes with a child, very young child, or sometimes that comes through in an encounter with another being, or even on the inner planes in a dream. It's a very subtle presence, still, you know, a form of the beloved at a very subtle level, but much less tangible. Doesn't really have a form, just a very fine, light, ephemeral impression. So we could say, do we know our angelic inheritance? It's a metaphor, but hopefully has a meaning. This place of genuineness and innocence. And it isn't the, perhaps you've known someone like this. It isn't a foolhardiness or a foolishness. No, and in fact, this being, you know, just doesn't have the same perspective. The perspective is really the perspective, what would an angel see looking at humanity? How would an angel see things? This great being of light. Purity. So I'd like to play one other short piece of music. It is the Pie Jesu of Andrew Lloyd Webber, and has two voices in it, a child soprano voice and a woman soprano. And they have a beautiful way of complementing each other. If you listen very closely, taking the music as a, let's say, an emotional attunement for this meditation, and the voice of the child has that innocence that we associate with the immature soul who has, you know, by God's grace, not experienced the pain or suffering or limitation of life. But the woman's voice has a different quality, very slight and subtle, subtly different quality. And it has as much purity and innocence and ecstasy, but as an overcoming of the limitation. And here it's not so much by our will or our imagining that, you know, we're graced with this sense of having been a part of this fine and pure and sacred community of beings that's not gone from us. If we choose to, let's say, help create conditions which make its appearance or God's appearance to us in that manner of device apparent to us. So I'm aware of the time, and we'll just have a few words when this piece concludes to end our session together. Which is just a beginning, because you have many more days ahead to continue. So we can conclude in two ways. One, to with these eyes and, let's say, heart of the angelic, the angel of our being, with that, and from that place of purity and authenticity, recite or say the zikr together. And the words are la ilaha illa la hu. And it's said as the chin is pointed to the left shoulder and makes a very big arc descending, let's say, through the center of the earth in one's consciousness up to the, past the right shoulder, up to the zenith, feeling the wide scope of the evidence of God's being in the cosmos. Illa descending deeply into the sacred portal of one's being to the inner realms and rising Allah through the inner planes of metaphor and subtlety and abstraction and reaching a place of communion, transcendence, and then who, bringing the fullness of the practice, who, the divine presence, into the heart. So we'll say this together 11 times aloud, and then hold in our hearts those beings upon whom we wish peace and blessing. Allah, 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 Allah.
Allah.
So if you can hold those beings in your heart, that your you know, your heart is a way of focusing the divine peace and blessing, that longing of your heart, and ending with the word Amen, Amen, so be it, releasing it into God's hands. So I congratulate you on hanging in there and offer to you a sheet on top of the piano back there that has a very beautiful prayer for peace, if you wish. And I'm here most of the weekend and would be very happy to talk to you about anything that you may either have feedback for me, which I'm eager, you know, to receive, or questions.